And turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to continue our study on people that were filled with the Holy Ghost. And last Sunday, last Lord's Day, we talked about the people of the Old Testament, the prophets, the kings, the rulers, and the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how the Spirit of God came upon them, and God filled them with wisdom for certain things. Sometimes He filled them with holy zeal. Sometimes He moved them to anger. And then holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we looked at that, the word of the Lord coming to the prophets and the burden of the Lord and all those things. And I mentioned briefly at the end of it about John the Baptist and Zacharias and Elizabeth, and you could even say Mary in that regard, and Luke, you know, and I talked about a transition. And that is something that we need to understand, that there is a transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So a lot of the things we see in the Gospels and in Gospels and in Acts are part of that transition. And you have to be able to see it that way, because at this time, you have to understand, and the Scripture bears it out, at this time, there are non-believing Jews and believing Jews, right? At this point that we're going to be at this morning, Christ has not died for our sins and rose from the dead, so they're still under the Old Testament economy. But there are some things I believe we can learn here. So if you'll turn with me and go to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 5. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things are performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be called great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah for that. Amen. All right. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came, that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. Man, every time I read this, I see something else just blesses my heart. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came upon all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our lives. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of His showing unto Israel. Father, thank You for the Word of God that we just read. Bless it and use it. Challenge our hearts with it. Father, we thank You and we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you, there's so many things that I see there. It's kind of interesting when we look at Zacharias, when Zacharias starts out. And we start this thing out. Zacharias is sitting there, and an angel appears to him, it's clear from the context that Zacharias didn't believe what the angel said, because the angel said, "Because thou believest not." All right, but Zacharias was there, and he said, "Whereby shall I know this?" You know, here he is. He's saying, "In your old age, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a son. Your wife's going to conceive, and she's going to bear a son. And you're going to call his name John." And he's like, "Whereby shall I know this?" In other words, where's the proof? Where's the proof? You got to show me. And the funny thing about it is, he claimed to be he was the Bible says both he and Elizabeth, they walked in all the ordinances and all the commandments. They were blameless. But he had a problem, didn't he? He had unbelief. He claimed to believe the Bible, but even though he claimed to believe that God gave Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age, when God came to him and said, "I'm going to give you a child in your old age, a son in your old age," all of a sudden he couldn't believe that. Well, that must have been, that was for Abraham and them. That ain't for us today. That's kind of how a lot of people approach the issue of being filled with the Spirit. That's for those folks back in Bible times. Can I let you in on a little secret? There's no such thing as Bible times. Bible times. There's no such thing as Bible times. It's all one long thing or period of time that God's working. And He hadn't quit working. But anyway, when we talk about people that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, I kind of felt I was going to skip past this, but then after I thought about it and prayed about it, I said, "No, I need to go on this, because I believe that there's some things we need to learn here." And first of all, we have John the Baptist, right? And Luke 1:15, it says, "For he should be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he should be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." So, this is kind of a new thing. What has been put forth here is that John the Baptist, he is at least has some of the requirements set upon him about not drinking wine or strong drink, as the Nazarites did. If you go back to Numbers chapter 6, it will tell you about the requirements and the things that a Nazarite, they couldn't drink any fruit of the vine, they couldn't drink any wine, strong drink, they couldn't come near a dead body. There were different things that they had to do. And so John had a vow on him, and there's only one other person that I know of that was told to be a Nazarite from their mother's womb, and that was Samson. And you go look at Samson, you look at God, when the Spirit came upon him, it gave him great strength and zeal. And you go look at that, and that, but, you know, he did not perform the way a Nazarite should. He didn't live the way a Nazarite was supposed to live. But God had raised him up for a purpose. And sometimes God will do that with people that God intervenes in different ways, and he has a purpose and he has a plan and he does something. There's prophecy in the Bible that was put forth by Nebuchadnezzar after he was humbled and his reason returned to him. If you go to John chapter 11 and verse 51, you'll find out the Bible says that when Caiaphas talked about one man dying for the nations, that he didn't say that of himself. He prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. In other words, God was using the wicked high priest that opposed Jesus to speak the truth about Jesus. So the Spirit of God can do that. But he says here that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. In other words, the Holy Ghost influenced him from conception.
I want to know when he's supposed to be in tongues. I want to know when he spoke in tongues. Or
probably about a year old, I'd reckon. But you never know. You know, but anyway, but the bottom line on all that, and don't worry, we'll get to all the tongues things and everything like that. We'll get to that. The simple thing about that, the Bible says that he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll drink neither wine nor strong drink. He'll be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And so, now that we look at that, we're not really told anything other than when John the Baptist comes out begins to prophesy and preach and all the things that he does when he comes out of the wilderness. He comes to fulfill that prophecy in Isaiah, being the voice of one crying in the wilderness, right? And so he does that, and we get to see him and see things about him when he begins his ministry. And he sees the Spirit descend like a dove on Jesus when he's baptized. All right, he'd been given a sign so he could know who the Messiah was. All right, and he saw those things, and he preached and he prophesied and he pointed people to Jesus. And that is an important thing. When we get in this idea about people being filled with the Holy Ghost, one thing you're going to find out that is an absolute constant is that they are going to be people who will talk about the salvation of God. Can you talk about the salvation of God and not be filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Can you be filled with the Holy Ghost and not talk about the salvation of God? No. He pointed out Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So all the things we look at, even while he was in prison, he sent some of his disciples to Jesus and said, "Art thou he who should come, or look we for another?" Whether John had doubts or not, he still brought people to Jesus, didn't he? And whatever happened with him, and I don't think John had doubts, I don't think he was wavering in his faith or his conviction. I may be wrong, I don't know, but the Bible doesn't really tell us, does it? They just come and he said, "Go back and tell John what you see." But you see the life of John the Baptist, but started from his mother's womb. Now, when we say he was filled with the Holy Ghost, He was a believer after the Old Testament model. All of these people we're talking about, they were believers after the Old Testament model. They did their best to keep the law, but they believed in the coming of a Messiah. They were blameless in the ordinances, they were blameless in all these things, and yet you still saw the unbelief in Zacharias, didn't you? So we see that. Alright, and then Gabriel comes to Mary and gives her the announcement, and she responds in faith and yields herself and says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And that's a beautiful picture of faith. Alright? But I will remind you that when the Bible talks about faith, it uses Abraham as the example, not Mary. The exaltation of Mary is a lie. She's not a co-redemptrix. She's not a co-mediator. She's not any of that. She was a vessel used by God to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible nowhere calls her the Mother of God. She is called the Mother of our Lord. Talking about Christ's humanity, not His deity. When you say the Mother of God, God don't have a mama. So I just want you to, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, "Well, we don't want to know anything about Mary." You'll hamstring yourself that way. Because if we would yield to God the way Mary yielded to God when the angel came to her, we'd be a lot better off, wouldn't we? Amen. So then we get to there, and we get to verse 40, and after the announcement with Gabriel to Mary, Mary enters into the house of Zacharias and salutes Elizabeth, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Alright? Now this is an interesting thing. Now John was Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Once again, after the Old Testament model, not necessarily after the New Testament model, because John was not sinless. He had to be redeemed. Just like Mary had to be redeemed, she was not born sinless. She called God her Savior. Nobody that's sinless needs a Savior. All right, Elizabeth wasn't sinless. John the Baptist wasn't sinless. Mary wasn't sinless. Only Jesus was sinless. And so, the simple fact is, we look at this, and now the babe leaps in her womb, and now all of a sudden Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost, and this is an amazing thing to me when you think about it. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she begins to speak, and she says, spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Alright. The baby, John the Baptist, when he heard Mary, God revealed to him that his Lord was near. And he responded in the womb with joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost to give voice to John's joy. "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." So the Holy Ghost enabled John to know that his Lord was near. He responded with joy. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost to give voice to that joy. And then Mary, although the Bible doesn't say Mary was filled with the Holy Ghost, who was she carrying? Jesus. Now stay with me here, because this is an amazing little thing. Mary begins to speak. Now, if Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost because of John, then I would have to assume that Mary, if she was filled with the Holy Ghost here when she begins to prophesy, was filled with the Holy Ghost because of Jesus. Just trying to follow it through. And she prophesied. She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Isn't it amazing? They both start talking about the salvation of God, don't they? All right? And he says, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy his name." And he goes on and he says, "Mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And he goes on and talks about how God's fulfilling all the promises and that he gave, just like Elizabeth did. And so there we are. And it's kind of an interesting thing. If you look at it, in a sense, Elizabeth and Mary picture the believer before and after the completion of our redemption. In a sense, I'm just going to follow me with this. Elizabeth with John as the indwelt believer. In other words, because I'll tie this together for you in a minute, but think about this. Elizabeth had John, who was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, inside of her, right? Mary had Jesus, who had the fullness of the Spirit. In John chapter 3 and verse 34, John the Baptist is preaching. It says, I think it's John the Baptist preaching, if I remember correctly. It says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." We get a measure of the grace. We get a measure of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. All right, we get a measure. Christ had the fullness. There was never a time when Jesus wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. There was never a time where he was not 100% led by and controlled by and moved by the Spirit of God. There was never such a time. Right now, we're indwelt, and we have an earnest of the Spirit, right? The Bible says we have a portion of it. We're indwelt by the Spirit. And what we're supposed to do is to endeavor to be filled by the Spirit, to be under the control of the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit, yield it to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. All those things mean the same thing. So you look at Elizabeth with John the Baptist, and then you look at Mary with Jesus, and you kind of got a picture of an indwelt believer before redemption is complete, and an indwelt believer after redemption is complete. Because once our redemption is complete, our bodies will be quickened by the Spirit of God. Will have a new body fashioned like unto His glorious body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But when Jesus was risen from the dead, He told the disciples, He said, "Touch me, handle me, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." He had a flesh and bone body as His glorified body, but there was no blood. It was the Spirit of God that quickened Him. Right now, the life of the flesh is in the blood. But then, in that glorified state, the life of the flesh is going to be in the Spirit. And so here's Mary with somebody who has a measure of the Spirit. And I mean, Elizabeth, somebody has a measure of the Spirit in her. And Mary was somebody with the fullness of the Spirit in her. I just kind of looked at that. I thought that was kind of neat myself. All right? We don't have to build no great doctrines around it or anything like that. But it's just kind of like a picture there. If you just think it through, I was just thinking about it. But so we see them, and we see them both influenced by the child in their womb. All right? In that regard. And so we see that. That's something that is not going to be repeated ever again. All right? So, but that's a special case. But what do we learn about them? Well, we learn that when they spoke under the influence and being filled with the Spirit, they spoke about the salvation of God, didn't they? Yeah. They rejoiced. John had joy. That's another thing about being filled with the Holy Ghost will do. It will give you joy about the things of God. They will mean something to you. They won't be just dead words on the page. If your Bible reading is dead words on the page, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong. Needs to change. And then we get to the point where John, after his birth, John the Baptist, after his birth, he's being circumcised and they're giving him a name. Of course, all the kindred go around and everybody knows what his name should be, don't they? And that's kind of a funny thing too. A lot of times in order to serve the Lord, you're going to have to decide that you're not going to go the family's way. You're going to go God's way.
That's right.
You're not going to go just what mom and daddy says. All right? Or what grandma and grandpa or aunts and uncles and everybody else, or cousins or kindreds or brothers or sisters. You're going to have to go with what the Lord says.
That's right.
And if you're going to serve God successfully. And so everybody was saying, boy, we need to call him Zacharias after his father. And Elizabeth speaks up and says, not so, but his name should be called, but he should be called John. And they said, well, there's none of thy kindred that is called by this name. It's like, you can't break with tradition. And so they said, we got a trump card. We'll just ask his daddy. Give that man a writing table. Writing tablet. Let him write it down. What do you want him to be named? Surely you want him to be named after you. And he writes out, his name is John. His name is John. Isn't it amazing? And the funny thing about it is, it says, right after that, it says, listen, his mouth was opened, and immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. He spake and he praised God. All right, and fear came upon all that dwelt around about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout the hill country of Judea. And he said that all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was upon them. That's kind of a parenthetical statement of what happened after this event and what happened with John. And then in verse 67 it says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. And we look at his prophecy, and what's he doing? He's talking about the salvation of God. People that are filled with the Holy Ghost want to tell other people about the salvation of God. They want to talk about Jesus Christ. They want to tell other people. All right, that is extremely important as we go forward here. And we talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're going to see that whether we're talking Old Testament, whether we're talking this transition period between the Old and New Testament, and we're talking about the full-on New Testament after Jesus has died and was buried and risen from the dead, you're going to see this is going to be one of the hallmark, clear signs that somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you talk about this and not be filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Can you be filled with the Holy Ghost and not want to talk about it? No.
That's right.
I don't believe so. And I'm just trying to get you to think on these terms because we got to get to this point. I honestly believe that we need to be Spirit-filled more than ever nowadays. We need the power of God. And that's kind of why I'm going to this and looking at this thing the way I'm doing. And Brother Larry laid the boilerplate for us. Now I want to get down into the details here and look at this stuff and see some things that we can see. So here is Zacharias. He's filled with the Holy Ghost and he prophesies. But I want you to understand something here. He started out in unbelief, didn't he? But now he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Boy, doesn't that give you hope? Amen? Doesn't give you some hope here?
Nothing's impossible.
You say, why in the world would God take some fellow who didn't even believe? He argued with an angel sent from heaven. Why would God fill him with the Holy Ghost? Because it's those unbelievers is all God's got to work with. He's got to turn them into believers one way or another. And Zacharias was a believer, but in this point he expressed his unbelief, even though he should have known. He said he believed it about Abraham, but here he is. So Zacharias, first of all, was humbled by God due to his unbelief. God said, you want a sign? Here you go. You won't be able to speak until all this is accomplished. Do you reckon the moment that angel said to Zacharias, you're not going to be able to speak, and he tried to open his mouth and couldn't speak? Do you reckon his unbelief kind of began to fall away? Do you reckon he began to believe? So now he's believing. But what the angel said is, you're not going to be able to speak until all these things be fulfilled. So he had to wait for 9 months and some change to be able to speak. And so he was believing. And then what's the second thing he was? Obedient. His tongue wasn't loose until he wrote it down and told everybody, his name is John. Now, being believing, going from unbelief to being both believing and obedient, now all of a sudden he's filled with the Holy Ghost. He made up his mind to obey God. Not just believe God, but obey Him. And now he's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's important. What does the Bible tell us about humility? Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Right? We're to be clothed with humility. Because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? No. So this is something that we need to learn. We need to understand that. So he spake and he praised God. Once again, there's the joy. There's joy about the things of God. There's talking about it. You look at what he said. He talked about the salvation of God. Everybody here that we've looked at thus far spoke about the salvation of God. There are two other people in Luke chapter 2. If you want to go to Luke chapter 2 and go to verse 21, It says, when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived of the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Back again to the Old Testament model, don't you see that? The Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And he goes on, he talks about that this child is set for the rising again, fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken of. Yes, sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, as the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. All right, so he prophesies. What does he prophesy about? The salvation of God. He's talking about the salvation of God. He's got joy in his heart about the things of God. He's happy about the salvation of God being there, being able to see it with his eyes and understand it. And now, then in verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 88 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Notice again, we're not told she was had the Spirit upon her. We're not told she was filled with the Holy Ghost or anything like that, but we're told she was a prophetess. And she comes, and what does she do? She speaks of him to all them that look for redemption. She's talking about salvation of God, isn't she? You're going to find that is a constant theme with people that are filled with the Holy Ghost in throughout the New Testament through these studies. So I want you to look at that. We'll be getting in the book of Acts next week. But I want you to look at that. And I want you to think about that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the Sunday school time. Father, thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. Help us, Lord, to just study this and learn and grow. Lord, help us to be filled with the Spirit, to have joy about the things of God, and delight in telling other people about the salvation of God. Lord, I just pray you'd bless us with understanding as we go forward. Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize it's not a difficult thing. It's actually pretty simple. The only thing that's hard is our hearts. Lord, help us to just humble ourselves the way we ought to. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.